Our scripture this morning in Matthew gives us an urgent call to seek discernment. In this scripture, the Lord teaches the disciples and us that it is essential that we develop spiritual discernment. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 1, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Paul's prayer there for the Philippians, that they would abound in knowledge and discernment, is what the Lord Jesus says he desires his disciples to have in this passage. If we are to follow Jesus Christ, we must learn to be spiritually discerning. What is spiritual discernment? It is a kind of wisdom. It's the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, between true and false, between good and evil. Spiritual discernment is having a true knowledge and understanding of the things of God, to know who God truly is and what pleases God. It's to know the difference between true and false teaching, true and false godliness. It is to know in spiritual things the difference between good food and poison. There is teaching and truth that will nourish your soul and bring you to God, and there is false teaching and false religion that will lead to your ruin. And having spiritual discernment will make all the difference. It's the difference between knowing the narrow way that leads to life or that broad, easy path that leads to destruction. Spiritual discernment is having, like, good vision, healthy eyes. But lacking it, you are short-sighted, even blind to the truth. In this scripture, the Lord teaches us that really this was at the root. This was the root of the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Their whole problem is they lacked spiritual discernment. They could not even see the truth when it was right in front of them. But then secondly, we'll also see that he warns the disciples. They must be discerning. They must discern what teaching they're going to listen to. Or to put it very simply, he says to them, "You are what you eat." And then third, we'll see the good news is that real spiritual discernment is a gift from God. That it is the work of the Holy Spirit who gives us the true knowledge of God. That he opens blind eyes. So I invite you to look with me first at verses 1 to 4. And we see that yet again, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they are trying to find fault with the Lord Jesus. They're harassing him, they're following him around. They seem relentless, constantly antagonizing him, trying to trouble him and the disciples. But his response is they lack spiritual discernment. They don't see the truth right in front of them. So when they approach him, if you look with me at verse 1, they ask him for a sign. "Prove to us, Jesus, that you are the Messiah. Prove that you're the Savior. We want you to perform some grand visible miracle, some cosmic wonder to convince us." Now, isn't that really an incredible thing for them to say? I mean, actually, it borders on being ridiculous. Countless people have been coming to Jesus in desperate need. The lame, the blind, the demon-possessed. And he has wonderfully healed them all. He's performed many miracles and signs. And he's done this openly, publicly. He's just fed, as we've heard, 5,000 people in the wilderness out of nothing. 4,000 people in the wilderness. And he's performed many of these miracles right in front of the Pharisees You remember the man who was lame, lowered in through the ceiling. The Pharisees were there. You remember the man in the synagogue with the withered hand. He spoke and he was healed right in front of them. And they still don't believe him. They still won't accept him. And so they come back asking for more signs, more proof. And they just don't see it. Now, of course, what's really being exposed here is the real spiritual condition of their heart. They don't believe it because they don't want to believe it. The Lord Jesus is a threat to them. He's exposed their sinfulness, their hypocrisy. He's a threat to their reputation. He has shown up their lack of care for people by his genuine compassion and good deeds. And so even if he did grant them some other sign, they're not going to put their faith in him and follow him. That they are hard-hearted and closed-minded. They're only looking for an excuse to condemn him. So it's no wonder he sees right through that and he rebukes them. Well, you're pretty good at reading the weather. You can look at the weather the night before and you know what it means for the next morning. But here are these spiritual things, these wonders of God happening right before you, and you're blind. They don't see the truth right in front of them, staring them in the face. And so the Lord says there'll be one more sign given to them. His own resurrection. He refers to the miracle that accompanied the prophet Jonah. Jonah, you know the story. He was as good as dead. He's in the land of the dead, so to speak, in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the depths of the world. He's buried there. And God raised up Jonah after 3 days and he went out to preach to Nineveh. That's the kind of sign God is going to give you, he said. What's he referring to? He's telling them about his own coming resurrection, that he'll be truly dead and buried and in the grave 3 days. But God is going to raise him up. But of course, even then, they're not going to believe. They're blind. They lack all discernment to the truth, to these things that are happening right before them. And of course, what this exchange is revealing to us is how spiritually blind we can be as human beings. Remember what we saw in chapter 15, he says that they were the blind leading the blind. But the Bible says that actually, this is our common lot as sinners, that without the grace of God, we're all blind to the truth. We're all blind to God, blinded by our sins. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks about the devil blinding people's minds so that they will not turn to the gospel. Like the Pharisees, apart from the grace of God, even when the truth's right in front of us, we don't see it. Our sinfulness blinds us to the truth. Our pride, our sinful desires, our desire to escape God. Actually, it leads us to closing our minds to the truth. We don't want it to be true because of the demands it will make upon us. The change that we will have to make. We don't want to give up our sins if it's true. So we close our minds to it. Even if, like the Pharisees, you can be clever in many natural things. For them, the Lord says, you know, looking at the weather. But in science, in nature, in academic learning, you can be brilliantly clever at those things, but morally and spiritually blind to God. Just consider what the scriptures teach us, that creation all around us testifies to God's existence, that it speaks to us constantly. It's speaking this very moment, the order, the beauty, the harmony of life, the laws of mathematics, as we call them, the complexity of life, the language of DNA, the cosmic forces, and that everything has come together to create this amazing world as a place we can enjoy and live in and even understand it. It all testifies. It is shouting out that there is a good creator who has given us these things, who upholds these things. But because we don't want to have such a creator, in spiritual blindness, we just don't see it. No, all of this, it's a massive act of chance. It was a random explosion. It's the product of evolution that it's just happened to fall out this way. The truth is right in front of us. But as sinners, we don't see it. People don't see it. Or think about the sign of Jonah. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the evidence, all the testimony, all the rational arguments, the witness of the apostles, of the scriptures, all testifying to the resurrection. It was a real, verifiable historical event. And it's better attested to than practically anything else in history. Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb after being dead. He's seen by over 500 people at once. But the unbelieving sinner says, no. Just doesn't see it because the mind is closed and blind in sin. So when someone says, I want proof. I'll believe in God if I can see some kind of sign. Some kind of answer, some kind of miracle, some kind of thing. The truth is, no, they won't. And they're never going to see it. Because they won't see the signs that are all around them right now, right before their eyes. Because they won't give up their sins. That's what you're seeing in the Pharisees. And that's the honest assessment of man without the grace of God. And if you really want to see, perhaps if you sit here today as a skeptic, not a Christian, and you're saying, well, I want to see something. You are not going to see the truth of God until you're willing to repent. You've got to give up your sin. You've got to be willing to humbly accept your guilt and your lostness and your blindness. And that what you need is the grace of God. Otherwise, you're coming just like these Pharisees. And you need to be able to have the humility to recognize you don't have spiritual discernment. You're blinded by your sin. And so this is the first thing we see in this passage on the Lord's reply. The lost and sad condition that man is in sin. But then look with me next at verses 5 to 12. After this encounter with the Pharisees, the Lord uses this as an opportunity to teach the disciples. And he says, look, as you're following me, you need real discernment. You need to have spiritual discernment. Especially when it comes to what teaching you're listening to or people you're following. Or to put it the way the Lord does, you are what you eat, Christian. You are what you eat spiritually. So when they're alone in the boat, the Lord's obviously been reflecting on the blindness of the Pharisees, and he said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But the disciples don't understand, as they so often do. They lack real discernment too, and they think the Lord is speaking about literal bread. They're so slow to grasp that the Lord speaks in parables, and he uses pictures and metaphors to reveal spiritual truth. So he makes it clear to them, verse 11. I did not speak to you concerning bread. I'm talking about their doctrine. I'm talking about their teaching and their religion, their way of life. Watch out for that. Be discerning and know the difference between true and false. Don't be blind like them. And he says, remember the miracles. How I fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. And again, he's reminding them of the real spiritual meaning of those signs. Remember what we looked at a few weeks ago. Those miracles, as amazing as they are, they were also teaching us something about Jesus. That his grace is sufficient for all. He is the true bread from heaven come to feed the dying sinners. And that there's such an abundance of grace in him, even for the world to come to him. And so the Lord is saying, follow me and my word. Eat this good bread that I give. Eat this life that comes through my teaching. Not following these blind Pharisees. He says specifically, watch out for their leaven. Now that's a really striking comparison. Leaven, you know, a little bit of leaven put into the dough makes the bread rise and spread until it fills the whole thing. Now leaven in the New Testament became symbolic for evil influences. Because the picture is that if you let in a little evil, a little bad teaching, then it's going to spread and grow and infect everything. So the Lord's pointing out this danger. Look, if you let in a little bit of the error of these Pharisees, it's going to grow. And it's going to be spiritually damaging and get worse. It's going to ruin you spiritually. So beware. Keep your guard up. Be discerning. And of course, what the Lord says here is the basis for what you find throughout the New Testament. That we're given many warnings to watch out for false teaching. To beware false teachers. That's what you heard in 2 Timothy. Paul is giving the same warning there. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse in these last days. There will be wolves in sheep's clothing. Men arising in the church who'll speak perverse things. And so there's a constant warning coming here straight from the mouth of the Lord. Beware such leaven, beware such false teaching. To be his disciple, you've got to be discerning. Don't be blind, but keep up your guard. And so trying to make that practical. Because this is so important for us as the Lord's people today. It is so important today that we be discerning. Leaven is small and almost impossible to spot once it's mixed in. And so often the difficulty with false teaching is it can sound and look like the truth at first. As C.H. Spurgeon once said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, but between right and nearly right. And that's so often, that's how the leaven of the Pharisees and whoever gets into the church or into a Christian's heart. You hear a teaching that sounds right, it's nearly right, it's close to the truth. It's got some truth mixed in it. But then the Christian swallows it all wholesale without discriminating, without being careful. That's why being discerning is so important. The gospel says God is love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The false gospel speaks of love. God loves everybody and accepts everybody, no matter what. Sounds good, but it's half the truth. Because the other half is that we are sinners who must come to Jesus Christ as the only way to God. We must repent of our sin as the only true way to be accepted by God. But that error sounds so like the truth if we're not careful. The gospel says, no good thing will God withhold from those who fear him. God will bless his servants. There you go, says the false gospel. God wants you to be rich. And materially so in this world. And if you're not, or you're sick, you clearly lack faith. It's a terrible distortion of the truth. Because God's grace actually is seen most of the time in upholding his people in suffering so that they are like Christ in this world and glorify God by their faith in carrying a cross and glorify God by trusting him through hardships, and our blessings and rewards come in heaven. But again, you see how the error can be so subtle. The gospel says submit to those who are in authority in the church. Honor your leaders and preachers and elders and there you go, says the false teacher. Listen to me, no matter what. Accept what I say and obey and give to me. And he's going to intrude on your conscience and dictate to you. But the truth is, you should test everything by the word of God. And a real godly shepherd is gentle and a servant and not a lord. There is a desperate need for God's people today to be discerning. To not take in the leaven. We are surrounded today by erroneous gospels, false teachers. You must be careful, saint, who you are listening to. You've got access on the internet to anyone and everyone who would speak for God. Be careful what you're going to eat and ingest spiritually. But so many Christians, like the naive disciples in this passage, they just uncritically accept whatever the latest fad or trend or popular thing is. Fooled if something looks successful and popular or looks spectacular or if it gives you an emotional high. Christian, you must hear the warning in this passage. There are blind guides. Be careful what they would feed you. What you need is that true, nourishing word of grace. The Holy Scriptures. And delivered by approved and tested pastors and under-shepherds. The word of the grace of Jesus Christ. One of the things you have found since becoming a parent is how when they're little, your little babes will put everything in their mouth. In the younger years, that dog food, that dust, that brightly coloured toy. And your children have got to grow up and discern what really must go in the mouth. And the Lord is saying to his disciples, like his precious little children, oh, you must be careful what you're listening to here. Don't listen to those blind guides. And so he would say to you, Christian, are you being discerning? Test everything by the word of God. Evaluate and search. Think, test. Is it consistent with the scriptures, with the whole counsel of God? Is it consistent with the holiness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the real way to be discerning, Christian, is not by learning all about the faults. You know, you could go down lots of rabbit trails learning about this cult or that cult or this bit of erroneous teaching. No, but that's not how to really spot them. The way to spot them is to be filled with the truth. To have your heart and mind so filled with the truth of the word of God, of the true gospel, you'll spot the counterfeit. It won't taste right. It won't measure up to the goodness and purity of the truth that you know. Even if you can't sometimes put your finger on exactly why, if you're walking with the Lord and you're filled with the truth, you'll know there's something not right in what I'm hearing here. Apparently that's how the banks train people to spot false currency. Not by giving them lots of the counterfeits to look at, but they give them a lot of time with real genuine notes, real genuine currency, and they get to know the weight. They get to know the feel. They get to know the little details. And when you're filled with the truth, that's how you'll recognize the false. And it's often what's missing in the leaven teaching that will show its faults. What does the Lord point us to in this passage? His fullness of grace and his feeding of the thousands. That's the hallmark. That's the heart of the true that you should look for in a ministry or a teaching. Is it Jesus Christ at the center and the fullness of his grace? Is that the heartbeat of what that person is saying? And that's the whole tenor that's driving up their whole ministry. Is it about Jesus Christ and this fullness of grace in him that he's exalted? That they're taken up with Christ. That there's a full salvation. That should be the heartbeat. And whenever that's not the center and the main thing, oh, then Christian, beware the leaven. And so there is this warning. You see these blind guides, no discernment? You, Christian, be discerning. But then that brings us finally to the next section in this scripture. And it is so important what the Lord says here. We're going to come back to this passage, Lord willing, next week. And I want to urge you all, I want to challenge you to even consider praying and asking a non-Christian to come and possibly hear this passage with you next week. Because its message is so important. But I would lay that down to all of you as a challenge. Specifically, pray about that. Ask, who could I be inviting to come and hear this message next week? Because it's about who Jesus is. It's the very center of everything. But this morning, I just want to point you to verse 17 in particular. As they're moving on, at last, Peter begins to truly understand. Doesn't Peter give you hope? Because he gets so much wrong and he's so slow to get it, which is how we so often feel as a disciple. But then you see these moments of wonderful grace. Peter here, he confesses his faith. It's the first time. First time one of the disciples really gets it and begins to see who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Savior. He's starting to have real discernment. Know the truth. Jesus is not just another prophet. He's not just another king. He's the King, the Christ, the Lord of all, the unique Son of God. But the key thing for this morning is look at what Jesus says in response. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So this true sight, this true discernment that Peter's getting in spiritual things has been given to him. It is a gift from God. It is not from flesh and blood. It's not something Peter's figured out by his cleverness. It's not something that through reading a lot of good books, he's smart enough to have got to. No, there has been a miraculous work of God. We believe in the supernatural, in supernatural conversion. God in his heart has opened the eyes of his understanding. There's been an amazing work of grace within him. And as other scriptures make clear, this gift is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of God sent to the human heart to take away our blindness, our sin, and to change us and give us discernment, to give us a knowledge and certainty of the truth. He's come to lead us, holding our hand into all truth. So in fact, this is wonderfully good news. We've seen the utter lostness and blindness of man in sin. But here's the wonderful remedy, the good news. That God will send his Holy Spirit to open blind eyes. To change hearts. To give faith. And the good news, of course, is that this is still the gift of God today. This is not some thing just restricted to Peter in ancient history. If any of us today are here as Christians, it is because God did this wonderful work of grace in you. You believe and you're here today because he has opened your eyes. Once you did not see it, but now you do. You see it so clearly. You see Jesus' love. And it's because God the Spirit opened your eyes. And for anyone here today, if you're not yet clear about Christ, what you need is this gracious gift of the Spirit. Now in sin, we're all equally in need. And it's humbling to know. I can't believe. I can't repent. I can't turn to God by my own strength. Even if I was to decide to try and do it, I can't do it myself. What you need is this outward power and help of the Holy Spirit. You can grow up around in the dark looking for God. What you need, sinner, is the Holy Spirit to heal your blindness. But this is good news. Because he comes with this wonderful grace. You and I can know the truth. You can know God. You can know Christ. You know, maybe the great existential crisis of our time is, how do we know anything's true? That's why there's no hope today and there's no moral certainty, because the foundations that we can know the truth has just been destroyed in our society. But the wonderful answer to that is you can know the truth because of the Holy Spirit, who does not lie, who is God. And he can speak into your heart and show you the truth. And so, of course, as well, for the Christian, it means he can teach you discernment. If you feel, like we sang in Psalm 119, I feel a bit of a novice and simple-hearted and childlike in the things of God. And how do I know what's true? You can pray to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will teach you. He will develop that spiritual palate. Do you know there's a prayer in the Bible that you can go to, that you can pray? It's in Ephesians chapter 1. And in that prayer, Paul writes, he says, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You can pray just like that, Christian, that God might enlighten and grant you a growing discernment, because it is this work of the Holy Spirit. And so pray too that he would take away the blindness of people's eyes, that they too would come and see the wonderful Savior. And so, Christian, this passage is a call for discernment. You see the blindness of the faults. Beware the leaven. And so what you desperately need is to grow in discernment and to seek this gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we are like little children, even at our best, that we know so little and are so undiscerning about spiritual things. Indeed, Lord, we are helpless by ourselves, and we cannot by searching find you. But we thank you for your mercy, that you have spoken, you have sent your Spirit. And we pray, O Lord, that he would open our blind eyes today. That, Lord, you would speak to anyone here today who's not a Christian. That, Lord, you would reveal to them the wonderful truth of the Saviour. And for all of us as your children, Lord, please forgive us when we have followed error and false teaching, if we've swallowed some of the leaven. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead us into the truth. You would make us truly wise. Help us, Lord, to be devoted to the true gospel and to your Son. And we pray that we would follow him faithfully to the end, kept by your grace for his sake. Amen.